Hello, I'm Steve Punce.
And I'm Hugh Dennis.
With us are Glenn Moore, Harriet Kemsley, Gemma Arrowsmith and Jazz Emu and Band. And special guest, Rory Bremner. And this is...
The Now Show!
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to the last ever episode of The Now Show.
Yeah, kind of frustrating because we were just getting the hang of it. And we've only just discovered that all this time, we've had a band.
There you are, we weren't making it up.
Rather fittingly this week, the main news only affects the younger generation.
Yes, the Prime Minister pushed through the first reading of the Smoking and Vapes Bill this week, making it illegal to sell cigarettes to anyone born after the 1st of January 2009.
The tobacco industry aren't pleased with it. The fake ID industry are delighted. One person who objects to the smoking ban is everyone's favourite cameo Prime Minister, Liz Truss. The human embodiment of a pointless answer. She said,
I believe so much in freedom that I tried to rid the population of the tyranny of affordable mortgages. And I would have gone further if it wasn't for the deep state.
Yeah, she loves the phrase deep state, which isn't surprising, as it's what she left the country in. So Liz was against the smoking ban, and it's possible that Sunak's whole angle on this is wrong. I mean, after all, he was able to put people off Adidas Sambas just by wearing them.
Another person who is Truss-like in their unwillingness to admit any mistakes in the past is ex-President Trump, who finally began his criminal trial in New York this week over the hush money he allegedly paid to Stormy Daniels to stop her talking about the affair he denies they ever had, but he paid her off for anyway. So far, the trial has only reached the stage of jury selection. It's a long and tricky process, and on the first day, two-thirds of the pool of 96 possible jurors were dismissed because they said they could not be fair or impartial.
Three of them have since been offered jobs on GB News. But that wasn't the only problem. The trial is taking place in New York, Trump's main residence for many years, and possibly Angela Rayner's. And finding people... And finding people who are suitable is proving very hard. One report put this down to opinionated New Yorkers, which sounds very feasible.
Are you familiar with the defendant?
What, the big orange guy is as guilty as sin. Look at his face, better boom. Slam dunk case, what am I, a put?
Oh, my God, it's Donald Trump. Oh, my mom loves you. She loves your hair. Oh, my God, wait till I tell her. The Apprentice, that was her favorite.
Objection. Clear bias.
Bias schmias.
I'm calling a recess. Please clear the court of stereotypes. The real problem, of course, is that if they do find people who are legally suitable, they may, by definition, not suit Trump himself.
Number one, will you be biased against the defendant?
I am a Democrat.
You are dismissed. Number two, will you be biased against President Trump?
I am in favor of a woman's right to choice.
You are dismissed. Number three, will you be biased against President Trump?
Who is President Trump? I don't recognize him.
Excellent. You may be seated.
Hang on. Just wait a second. What do you mean you don't recognize me? I am President Trump, the very best president of all the President Trumps.
I've never seen you before, man.
What if I say Kafefi?
You're weird, man. I don't know you.
Okay, get out of my courtroom. You're dismissed, totally dismissed, most dismissed ever.
Thank you.
Now, here's a little-known fact. There were originally four pilots up for this slot, one about food, one about the US stock market, and one about Chinese philosophy. But the Now Show saw her off, the Chow Show, Dow Show, and Tao Show. And here we are today. And now, would you please welcome Glenn Moore!
It's a huge weekend coming up in London. This Sunday, it is the London Marathon, the one day of the year I like to leave my home at 5 p.m, get on the tube wearing a foil blanket and get congratulated by strangers. It was Beijing's half marathon last weekend. Now, look, China has brought us wonderful things. Amazing food, technological breakthroughs, Billy Joel's classic Sing Us a Song, Your Tiananmen. But now they've brought us controversy. So what happened was last weekend in the final stretch of the half marathon, you had three Kenyan runners out in front with a runner from China a few metres behind them. And the three Kenyan runners appeared to slow down to let the Chinese runner past, who then won the race. So this is now being investigated. So why did they do it? Like, I understand making concessions, for instance, in races for those who can't help it. Sure, you know, for instance, like, I've got dyslexia. So while most stand-up slots in the show are 5 minutes, I've been given 15 minutes extra time. What that does mean is when the show's over, if you, the audience, could leave as quietly as possible because I will still be performing. But look, some people are claiming that the cheating runners were being bribed. And, you know, why not? Bribery's effective. I've used bribery before. I'm not proud of this, but I was low on money quite recently. I went to the bank and the bank teller said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Moore, there isn't much money in your account. I'm afraid the maximum that you can withdraw is just £5. And I said, "Really? Well, how about now?" Slipped him a £10 note. He said, "Well, it's just gone up to 15. Well, other people are arguing that the Kenyans were trying to be charitable. And I think it's sweet when charity like that happens in sport. There was a race in the US a few years ago, and basically, despite many young and fit people competing, they let this really old, decrepit man win the race. And he's remained president for the last few years. And I didn't even know that cheating at events this big was even possible. And it's not the first time it's happened in China. Basically, a half marathon in China, this is in 2018, 250 people cheated and took shortcuts. And then a year later, a woman was caught during a marathon riding a bike. Officials stopped her, and then a few minutes later, she just got back on the bike. A typical cyclist. But I didn't even know people had the gall to do that. I could never do that. I'm too timid. I'm too apologetic. Like, case in point, I was at a restaurant a few weeks ago. A waiter asked me if I had any allergies, and I said, "Oh, no, sorry." Look, I couldn't... Why would I have the guts to be able to cheat on a marathon? But then I sort of think, is it cheating? Let's look at the explanations that the runners have actually given. This is the reason that one of the Kenyan runners gave. He said what happened was he wanted his friend to win. And I think that's nice, but I wouldn't do that for any of my friends. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve any sporting achievements. One of my I'm mates with someone who's such a hypochondriac. He wears corrective shoes on each foot because he said both his legs are shorter than the other. How the hell does that work? I don't want these people to win. I've got a friend who, this is relevant to the topic in hand, I've got a friend who still calls Snickers bars opal fruits. I've never been called that. I don't want... One of the runners has even gone as far as to say that they weren't even competing in the first place. This is what he said. I'm going to read this out. He said, "It was not a competitive race for me. I don't know why they put my name on the bib instead of labelling it as a pacemaker." So he was saying they weren't there to win. They're just setting the pace. And that's a valid excuse. In the same way that I keep reiterating to all of you, I haven't been booked to do stand-up comedy here tonight. I'm just setting the pace for the archers. Look, if you need one wry chuckle every 10 minutes, you book Glenn Moore. That's what you need. Well, this is what the winner actually had to say, the winner from China. He spoke to BBC Radio 4 earlier, and he told us this.
I don't know why I was asked to translate. I don't speak Chinese.
But this story is uplifting because it's about friendship. Maybe bribery, but mostly about friendship. And look, maybe I'm being overly optimistic. I'm being a bit of a sort of toilet half full sort of guy, but I just sort of feel... We live in a world now where, you know, we see so much increased conflict on our screens. We hear so much increased conflict on our radios. I mean, the Now Show's had to end because Punt and Dennis frequently come to blows. And so, isn't it nice that some people have done something nice for someone? They didn't cheat for personal gain. They deliberately did badly so that their mate could win. And what I've learned from that is, God, the Tories must be really good friends of Keir Starmer.
Glenn Moore there. Now, it was the Greek philosopher Heraclitus who said, "No man can step in the same river twice."
Also, the current guidance from Thames Water.
Meaning, of course, the tide of history flows continually past, and Radio 4 have suggested that since this is the final edition of the Now Show, that we perhaps look back at the quarter of a century that it's been on air, but they've only given us 9 minutes.
Now, we thought we might need a bit of help with that, what with it involving 7 prime ministers, 5 US presidents and a whole bunch of other people. So, Rory, are you up for it?
Sure. Let's get this done.
OK. Let's do that very thing. So, the Now Show was first broadcast in September 1998 at the time of peak New Labour. And sure enough, having heard the first show, the BBC's verdict was...
And things may or may not have got better, but they've changed a great deal over 25 years. I mean, the first joke on the first show was about an American president facing trial for covering up an adulterous affair. It's true. Listen back now.
OK, then, well, let's get it out of the way. Bill Clinton. If he's guilty, then it's a whole new meaning to the term fun-loving criminal.
September 1999, the BBC introduced digital interactive services to replace CFAX, and a catchphrase is born. Not long afterwards, Hugh Dennis actually hears a newsreader say the immortal words...
If you'd like to know more about the threat posed by North Korea's nuclear weapons program, press the red button. At the end of the century, the world parties like it's 1999.
Except in the Balkans, where they party like it's 1939.
And here in Britain, where party food is just £9.99 at Iceland. The very word millennium seems cursed. The Millennium Dome is controversial. The Millennium Bridge is wobbly.
And the Millennium Bug is the fear that old, outdated computer software will not recognise the year 2000 and will revert to the year 1900 instead, causing transport and power systems to fail and NHS systems to remain pretty much the same. The most worrying threat is that planes will fall out of the sky, a ridiculous prediction which never came true.
As lawyers for Boeing have insisted we tell you. In 2002, euro notes and coins enter circulation for most of the EU, although not for Britain, who had left the European Exchange Rate Mechanism 10 years earlier, as then-PM John Major was not an ERM fan.
Although, to be fair, I did quite like shiny, happy people.
2004, and Facebook is founded at Harvard by Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, and its first company logo is the pixelated face of the legendary Godfather and Scarface actor, known to inaccurate typists as AI Pacino. 2005, and The Now Show becomes the first Radio 4 comedy to be available as a podcast.
Although it's not the first Radio 4 show available, having been beaten to it by...
In Our Time, with me, Melvin Bragg. Hello, today we'll be talking about the ancient Etruscans and asking, were they the first to do the ERM joke?
2007, and keeping to a deal made years earlier in a restaurant in Islington, Tony Blair hands over power to Gordon Brown.
The handover is probably not before time, as power does take its toll on people. The 10 years of the Blair premiership started with...
Look, we don't do God.
And ended with...
I am your God.
2008, and George Bush leaves office just as America is overwhelmed by the financial crisis.
The wake of the financial crisis brought new friction between baby boomers and millennials. Because they appear to hold all the wealth, the nation's youth dub their parents the golden generation, forgetting that there's nothing golden about your children having to live with you forever.
In 2009, President Obama makes a state visit to Britain and is driven around in his armoured limo, the Beast, which weighs 8 tonnes, to the delight of at least 9 local councils who blame him for their number of potholes to this day.
The 2010 election produces one of the most unexpected catchphrases ever to sweep the country.
I agree with Nick.
Said Gordon Brown, but sadly Nick agreed with David Cameron when he proposed a coalition government by asking...
Nick, how do you fancy being stitched up like a kipper for a few years till we get a proper majority?
It's a strange thing with Nick Clegg, but of all the inaccurate statements of the last 25 years, I will not back a rise in student tuition fees is the only one that never, ever got forgiven. I mean, Bill Clinton told us...
I did not have sexual relations... with that woman.
And then survived impeachment and served 2 more years. Tony Blair told us...
Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
When there weren't and went on to win a third election, Gordon Brown told us...
There are no problems with the banking system.
And there were. While Michael Gove told us that after Brexit...
The NHS will get an extra £350 million a week.
And he then continued...
Techno, 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 techno!
And... none of these things turned out to be true, apart from the fact it was indeed techno.
2012 is best remembered as the year London stages the Olympics. On the day of the opening ceremony, the entire country started the day going...
Oh, it's going to be so bad. It's just going to be terrible.
And ended it going...
It's just so amazing. I'm so proud to be British.
2 weeks later, the closing ceremony ended with Paul McCartney's extended performance of Hey Jude, which finished just in time for the Rio Olympics in... in 2016. And 2016 proved to be a watershed year. It saw the launch of Pokemon Go, and for a while, downloads surpassed those of dating app Tinder. This was probably confusion, since both of them used the slogan, gotta catch 'em all. But The first half of 2016, of course, was dominated by the EU referendum.
For the next 4 years, every minute of every episode of The Now Show is about Brexit. As arguments rage, the Leave side, in the form of Jacob Rees-Mogg, seem to know exactly what they want.
It's perfectly simple. For years, Britain's been run by a distant and remote elite with nothing in common with the ordinary working people of this country. We're going to change all that.
2019, and in Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky becomes the first comedian elected leader of a major European country. Boris Johnson offers his congratulations on beating him to it by a couple of months.
After the constant wrangling of the Theresa May years, Boris pledges to finally end Britain's long-standing relationship with the EU, and he knows how to carry out this delicate task.
Hi, folks. Yes, I have got an oven-ready scheme to do this using my vast experience of ending relationships. I plan to leave the EU through the bathroom window, down a ladder, in my pants.
When Britain finally leaves, the event is largely overshadowed by the arrival of the COVID pandemic.
Lockdown begins, TV becomes dominated by a new programme, Nightly Briefings from Downing Street, which quickly become the country's most watched show.
Welcome to Britain's Got Valance.
2022 and several members of the 1922 committee celebrate their 100th birthdays. England reached the final of the Women's Euros. Finally, we win!
Hey, listeners in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland have their own running joke. And so here we are, 25 years on, with Labour ahead in the polls, wars in the Middle East, Tom Cruise constantly photographed filming in Britain, and American presidents mired in scandal. And to make it even more confusing, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump are both the same age.
But only one of them could feasibly be president again in November. A thought that really does prompt the feeling that...
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm liking this band thing. So now, please welcome Harriet Kemsley.
In honour of the Now Show breaking our hearts and saying goodbye, I would like to discuss my favourite news story of the week, the lawyers who accidentally divorced the wrong couple. When processing a final divorce order, a solicitor from London-based firm Vardags accidentally pressed the wrong button and divorced Mr. and Mrs. Williams, who'd been married for 21 years. Imagine you are just going about your very married lives and suddenly you've been divorced. I think there are quite a few married people who wouldn't get divorced. It wouldn't cross their minds to actually go through with it. But if they were suddenly granted a divorce out of nowhere, they'd be like, oh, no, sorry, Terry. Well, I guess we have to respect the law. Look, I should know about this. Hands on the table, I've just got divorced on purpose. It's not easy getting a divorce usually. You've really publicly failed at something. I was so smug when I got married. I did it before I was 30 and I was like, yeah, I've found the one. I'm better than all you lonely losers. Okay, I didn't have to say that in my vows. I remember talking to a friend who found the love of her life finally last year. And at the start of the year, she was single and she was upset and saying, everyone's settling down and I feel like I'm the last one left. And I said, yeah, but you never know. I could be divorced in a year and you could have met the one. But I didn't mean it. I was just trying to be nice. For the last 2 years, no-fault divorces have been possible, which has made the process so much simpler for both sides. But I think they should add a caveat where you can say, yeah, yeah, it's no fault, but it is his. There's no way you can put that on the form, so I'm just talking about it on the last ever Now Show, broadcast on Radio 4, just to let people know it was his. I've had people say to my face, divorce is too easy now. And that was before this week's news. I disagree. I think marriage is too easy. It's the wrong way around. I think you should be able to get divorced immediately, but a marriage licence should take at least 6 months, involve a team of solicitors and your family begging you to please just give single life a second chance. You can get married drunk in Vegas. I think you should be able to get divorced in Vegas. I think that would be great. You go to Vegas with your partner, get drunk, look at each other and think, we could do better. Then Elvis divorces you. It makes sense. He'd get it. He had a hard marriage, a lot going on, and he had to deal with his wife's puberty. Mr. and Mrs. Williams, please don't be too worried. There are real plus sides to divorce. I get to say catchphrases I've always wanted to say, like, I'm going to take him for everything he has. Problem is, he has nothing. It's going to be an adjustment for the Williams suddenly being single after 21 years. I haven't been single since my early 20s, and now in my mid-30s, I am dating for the first time in my life with self-esteem. When I was 23, a guy turned up to a date on a moped and I was like, oh my God, he's a businessman. The dating landscape has completely changed. They're going to have to join dating apps. I missed them too the first time around. So I joined Hinge this year and I was so nervous about telling people on dating apps that I was a stand-up because they'd be able to Google me and find my videos online talking about my chlamydia. On the app, you only have the first name, not your surname and your job. So I decided to search Harriet Stand-Up to see if I came up without my surname. So I searched Harriet Stand-Up. And let me say, not for the first time in my life, a huge thank you to Harriet Tubman. Who so bravely stood up for civil rights. Covers the whole front page on Google for Harriet Stand-Up. And has stopped me from having to tell boys on dating apps about my clap. Steve and Hugh, you're going to find it hard leaving the Now Show. Splitting up is never easy. There's going to be a huge gap in your hearts and ours. But someone at Radio 4 pressed the wrong button.
Harriet Kensley there.
So let's be honest, the news has been a bit depressing recently. So we have asked our audience here to tell us something that always cheers them up.
Tell us something that always cheers you up. The first sip of beer after the grandchildren have left.
We live in tidal Twickenham, always cheered up by watching badly parked cars float down the Thames. If only that was all that was floating down the Thames.
Putting my clothes on the right way round. Tell us something that always cheers you up. My prescription.
So, thank you very much indeed for sharing those with us. And that is almost it for the show.
Yeah, and we've got our final ever musical act. Jazzy Mew has looked into his crystal ball and the future looks bright. Take it away.
Not a single pothole in the road. Politicians say sorry when they get it wrong. Ralph Fiennes has finally given up trying to say his name like that.
Just say Ralph, Ralph.
NHS staff are all fairly paid. British summer lasts longer than half a day. And people who walk too slowly on pavements have been euthanized. It might sound crazy, but a man can dream. Global conflict has all been resolved. The big debate has finally been solved. And we've all universally agreed it should be pronounced scone. There's no more suffering, nobody dies. Cause we found out the secret to eternal life was buying a new bag for life literally every time you shop. It might sound crazy, but a man can dream of all the things that could be. The ice caps freeze back up so the sea is the perfect level for lots more billionaires to go down there in submarines. Just dream of all the things that could be. AI gets good at writing comedy and I can chill out forever and just copy-paste these songs off ChatGPT. We're gonna see some change. We're gonna see some change. They're going to invent a biscuit that doesn't fall apart when dipped in liquid. We're gonna see some change. We're gonna see some change. Online forms will be uniform on how they list the bloody name of our country. Is it Great Britain
or just Britain, or UK, or the constituent countries listed out. Is it Greater Britain, or just Britain, or UK, or the constituent countries listed out? Is it Great Britain, or just Britain, or UK, or the constituent countries listed out? Is it Great Britain, or just Britain, or UK? My finger is so tired from scrolling! Tourists, Pringles somehow seven times more Moorish. Oh, we're gonna say some change. We're gonna say some change. Therapy for robots, and by God, it looks like they're gonna need it. Oh, we're gonna say some change.
So, finally, to end off with, Tehran retaliated directly against Tel Aviv for the first time this week, sending 300 drones on a long, slow flight across the Middle East.
In other words, Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, who's been in charge since 1989, retaliated against Benjamin Netanyahu at 71, has been prime minister for a total of 15 years, doing this with the tacit support of Vladimir Putin, who's been in power for 25 years, Alexander Lukashenko, who's led Belarus since 1994, and Xi Jinping, who's changed the law so he can be China's president for life. All this while Trump and Biden, who have a combined age of 158, are running for president for the third and fourth time, respectively.
So, it does seem that many of the world's problems are caused by men staying in the same job for too long. But it's been a joy. So
it really has. And as ever, thank you for listening, and goodbye! Listening to The Now Show, starring Steve Punk, Hugh Dennis, Glenn Moore, Harriet Kemsley, Rory Bremner and Gemma Arrowsmith. The song was written and performed by Jazz Emu, accompanied by Luke Bainbridge, Matty Hudson and Tom Marlowe. The show was written by the cast, with additional material from Mike Shepherd, Cameron Loxale, Carl Karzana and Christina Riggs. It was recorded by Mark Wilcox and Gary Newman, and the producer was Sacha Boback. Throughout its long life, The Now Show has been a team effort. So thank you to the BBC and everyone who's ever written, performed, produced, recorded, edited or worked on the show. It's been a BBC Studios production, a BBC Audio production, a BBC Studios Audio production or a BBC production, depending on who was in charge, for BBC Radio 4.